Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Secrets in the City podcast, where we turn shameful secrets into life-changing lessons so people like you and me can cut the weight of the past and move forward with remarkable confidence. My name is Dr. Catherine Isco, and I'll be your proud host for this new podcast series. Welcome. Hello, and welcome to the second episode of Secrets in the City, where we turn shameful secrets into remarkable life lessons. Now, my name is Dr. Catherine Isco. Hello, and I'm so darn excited to be your host for this new podcast series. Now, folks, before I introduce today's guest, I want to ask you a question. Are you sitting down? Do you think opposites attract? Because let me tell you, I think they do, and I'll tell you why. In episode one, you would have heard from my life partner, Vlado. Do you guys listen to that episode? Because it was awesome. Now, he is literally the yin to my yang. He's Croatian, I'm Canadian. And I mean that both literally and metaphorically. Because let me tell you, he wants to buy the world, I want to save it. He says F you, I say sorry. And you probably would have heard me say sorry about 1,000 times. Now, clearly this is a pattern of mine because today I'm interviewing my bestie of 10 years, Nadine Ames, who is another yin to my yang. Now, let me give you a couple examples here just to set the scene. This is a woman that springs out of bed at 4:30 a.m. No, not p.m., a.m. in the morning. And let me tell you, if you've ever seen me in the morning, I can barely form a sentence at 9:30 a.m. No one talks to me before I get my coffee. Now, if you've ever seen Nadine, she's like 5'10". And let me tell you, when I'm really stretched out, I'm 5 foot on my good days. Now, Nadine adores routine. Like we're talking, you can set your clock by her. And the moment I start going into routine, I become paralyzed by it. I hate it. And if we ever go out to events, and let me just tell you, Nadine's usually in bed by 8 o'clock. So on the rare occasion that we go out to events together, she's wearing like a sports watch and comfy boots. And I'm the shorty wearing my Cartier and Christian Louboutins. Like we're talking totally different in regards to fashion sense. But here's the thing, you know, despite all of these differences, which if you really look at them are really minor, we are alike in so many ways that are truly important. One of these being that we both love overcoming challenges. So that's really the summary of today's podcast. Nadine and I unpack the anonymous secret, I can't seem to let go of my ex. We reflect on how, you know, we've been shaped or influenced by past relationships. And here's where the juicy stuff is. We ask some pretty deep questions that lead us to unpack some, let me just tell you, spoiler alert, some bombshell raw truths. In this, Nadine is going to reveal her secret of being consumed by a past relationship to the point where her self-identity and values changed. Can you relate? Hells to the yes. Now, I don't know about you, but this is a topic that really hits home for me in so many ways. And let me tell you, not only because past romantic relationships can continue to impact your life, but also how past and even present, I'm going to do that paragraph again. I don't know about you, but this is a topic that really hits home for me in so many ways. And let me tell you, not only how past romantic relationships can continue to impact your life, but think about this. Also how past and even present relationships in your career can impact your working life. Because if you think about it, after our loving relationships, the people that we spend the most time with are the people that we work with. So to my beautiful listeners, if you've ever been in a relationship that continues to haunt you, I implore you to listen to this episode, not only to hear more about Nadine's story, but more importantly, so you can learn how to be grateful for failed relationships, enabling you to move past them, freeing you to live in and enjoy the present. We're jumping right into it, and you have already picked a secret from the thousands of secrets. Which one is it? Read it out to us.
Okay. I can't seem to let go of my ex.
So why'd you pick that one? By the way, you can push the microphone down so you can
because
actually...
Because I want to see you?
See, yeah. Cool. I can't seem to let go of my ex. Why did that one jump out at you?
I think because I had a relationship last year that was pretty good.
Yep.
But I think after we broke up, I thought it would be possibly easier to walk away, and I've experienced over the last 10 weeks that it's not.
Not?
Yeah.
So why do you think this person wrote that secret?
I think they're probably still stuck in the what ifs, could have, would have, should have, and probably had a reflection on the relationship and maybe just a self-check on what could have been done differently, and would it have been a different outcome.
Do you think we do that a lot in life, that we are constantly looking in the back and saying, what if I should have done this, I should have done that? Do you think a lot of us, as in generally, do we live in the past and wish a lot?
I do think so, but I think it's also people that are reflective. I think it's people that are self-aware and want to continue to grow and learn from things that are possibly like that.
Mm.
Or they're stuck in that mode of what if, or... instead of wanting to actually do something to change, to be better, they're stuck in that what if cycle, or they're stuck in that I wish cycle without actually making any particular solid effort to change, I guess, moving forward.
Right. So yeah. When it comes to that's an interesting point. So would you say the differentiating factor would be you can look at the past, but if you don't change your behaviors in the future, that's what differentiates the person that's stuck in the past versus using it for the future?
Correct.
Do you think it's behaviors?
Definitely. And I think it's learning, and I think it's growing, and I think it's being honest with yourself to say, what could I have done better, or what should I have done, or could I have done better to perhaps get a different outcome?
So when it comes to relationships, and I'm sure you can associate with this, why do we keep on doing the same thing over and over yet expect a different result? I know that was me for about 15 years of my life. Well, hold on, I didn't start dating at 6. But you know, you do this a lot. And if you want to take me back, perhaps maybe even 10 years, because we've known each other.
Yes, since 2011. Yeah. 10 years next month, in fact.
So, anniversary. So take me back 10 years into your mindset when it comes to relationships.
10 years. Okay. Well, I'd come out of a tumultuous and emotionally abusive relationship with someone who was a undiagnosed bipolar, mm-hmm. And manic depressive, who had massive highs and massive lows.
Sorry, did you know that at the time? That no. Undiagnosed. Okay, so this is retrospectively.
Well, I knew it. I knew it probably 12 months into the relationship.
Okay.
But we were together for over three years. But there was highs and lows and everything in between with that. And I think what attracted me to me was the compassionate side of him. He was very compassionate. And he was a personal trainer, and I was a personal trainer. So we had a lot of similarities in terms of when he was on, it was health, fitness, discipline, structure. When he was off, it was mind-blowingly sidewiped.
Like how? So, can you give us an example?
Yes. So at one point I wanted to live with him, and he moved in, and about 3 weeks into the relationship, he locked himself in a bedroom and started talking about voices in his head and wanting to put a bullet into his head, and he would physically try to drag his fingers through his skull to pull these voices and pull these things out of his head. And he basically didn't leave that room, that bedroom in the dark, for about 8 days. I was lucky enough to be living 300 metres from my house. And so I would go to work, and I would check in at morning tea. I would go home at lunch. I would come back, obviously after work. And it was incredibly emotionally draining for me. Yeah. But then a snap, and all of a sudden he'd come out of it, and he would be on this manic high, and life would be freaking amazing, and it would just leave me in this emotional puddle.
And would you get sucked back into the relationship?
Absolutely.
By these highs?
Absolutely.
So you were basically living high to high.
Yes.
It's kind of almost like a drug addict in a way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was living from moment to moment and the potential in the relationship.
Potential. That's a big one for you. You are a potential seeker.
I am. And I think I could see the potential for us in a fantastic relationship when he was on that self-discipline path and the health and the fitness and everything like that. And mm-hmm. I would live from moment to moment with him throughout that 3 years. Yeah. But in the end, I think I needed to step back and go, this is so not healthy for me. It taught me a truckload, but it wasn't healthy for me. So in 2011 is when I met you.
Yeah.
That was when the relationship ended.
And were you able to let go of him?
Yes. At that point I was, because it had been incredibly impactful on my life, I guess. Mm-hmm. I was able to turn around and walk away because there were some really awful dark moments in that relationship.
Are you able to share a couple of them?
Goodness gracious me. Yes.
From memory, he was quite vindictive.
Yep. He was... And I don't like to speak ill of someone at all, but this particular person also relied on me financially from time to time, and I actually lost quite a large amount of money to him, paying his bills, pulling him out of debt, those sorts of things. But I think the biggest thing for me was the emotional trauma. I'd never been in a relationship that had arguments, and so our first argument, I thought the relationship was over, and then 3 days we made up, and I was like, I don't know what just happened here. So we had massive arguments, and then that was just part of our cycle because that was his way of living, I guess.
Yeah.
Lots of arguments, ups and downs, and jealousy, a lot of jealousy.
Jealousy is big. What do you think? I mean, obviously, you know, Vlado, and the first podcast with Vlado, we spoke a lot about this personality aspect of being jealous. And what Vlado was saying is oftentimes you're jealous because you're doing the bad things in the first place, and not necessarily saying this is true, but that was his view of jealousy. He's okay. Jealous because he's trying to protect his own behaviors. Why do you think in this case your partner was jealous?
Well, I think as a personal trainer and you're living and breathing the fitness industry, obviously there's a lot of vanity, I think, that comes with that, either consciously or subconsciously. Personal trainers, in my opinion, should walk the walk, talk the talk. And so you should basically live this health and fitness lifestyle, and you should be able to back that up with how you look and how you behave.
Look, you're a walking billboard.
Totally. And that's how you build your business.
Yeah.
And so I think there was a lot of insecurities around the male attention that a female personal trainer gets. And you have to be nice to everyone. You are selling your business. You're selling yourself, basically, to get clients. And if a male comes to you and says, I like the way you train, I want to look fit, strong, healthy, and you're getting male attention, I think that causes some insecurities, perhaps with your partner at the time, because they're seeing all of this attraction, all this attention, I guess, coming onto you.
Yeah.
But it was vice versa. You know, he was an excellent personal trainer. He had results for women out the wazoo. He knew his stuff. And so there was vice versa, but I think I was not a jealous person. And so there was no reciprocation in that. And I just went about my business, and he found that quite hard to see sometimes, I guess.
Interesting. So what do you think, I guess what I'm asking is, you know, you were self-secure in that instance, as in you weren't jealous, but at the same time, it was like this tumultuous relationship that would have made you so volatile to be jealous. So how do you come out with such a strong mindset? Like, I know your mom has like a superwoman kind of mindset. I've heard the stories. So yes. Do you think part of it is that, like, just what you were raised, or?
Absolutely. I think I'm absolutely blessed to have had such an amazing family life, and I still do, and my upbringing. One of the things that I will always remember both mum and dad saying to me is, the world is your oyster. You can do and be anything you want. You know, you have to put in the time, you have to work for it, but you can do anything you want. And I think the other message that they've always drummed into me is, what's the worst that can happen? You move over to Melbourne, you move overseas, you try a new job. What is the worst thing that can happen? You move home or you start again. And I think that's where my resilience or my strong mindset has come from, because my whole life I've basically heard, what's the worst that can go wrong? That's and if it. You start at that worst case scenario and you work backwards, I won't say it never happens, but it rarely happens. Because if you actually challenge yourself to do something that's going to help you grow, if you're that kind of a person, you will make it work.
That's
it. You make it work.
So why is it, let's go back to the secret, I can't let go of my ex. Yes. So why is it, do you think, if we could generalize for a second, why is it that some people, again, are stuck in that past and they don't learn from it to move forward?
I think there's an element of comfort. I think there's an element of being comfortable in that cycle.
So would you say you're almost addicted to the drama, or addicted to that feeling of discomfort, or like, talk me through it.
Well, I know for me, and I've learned this probably over my last 10 years of relationships, I'm a fixer. I attract people that need positive energy, that need maybe a path or a guide or someone to motivate them. I attract those kinds of people, male and female, friends, boyfriends. I'm just one of those people that just want to bring people along with me for the ride. Like, I really want people to get the best out of themselves. And if I put that back into my relationship from 10 years ago, I wanted him to be the best person he could be. And I loved him. And so I wanted to dedicate that. I wanted, you know, what better way to show someone that you love them than to help them improve or be their best version. But I think people that might get stuck in that cycle of not being able to change or grow or learn or develop from an experience, I think there has to be a comfort element, because it's either a mentality of I don't have the strength, or I don't know how, or it's being scared of going out of their comfort zone.
I know what I know.
Yeah. And what you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah.
But how will you ever learn if you don't challenge yourself to learn or feel or do something different?
Is there an element of guilt when you can't help or fix someone?
Absolutely. I hate failing. I hate failure.
Because I find that with my clients as well. Sometimes, because I know the solution.
Yeah.
You know, when I do a consultation with someone, I know exactly what they need to do. But I can't tell them that. Because if I tell them that, they're going to resist it.
Yes.
It's, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. And I find it so frustrating, because as I always say, everyone's got a God complex. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to be that savior in someone else's life to say, I will fix you.
Yes.
And when you can't, or when you're prevented from doing that, it fucking pisses me off.
But it's a learning for you, right?
It is.
You have to learn to step back.
Patience.
And take a breath. It's funny you talk about that with your clients and your consults. I have that same thing with personal training clients.
Yeah.
Like someone says to me, you know, I want your arms, or how do I get legs like yours, or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Well, I work freaking hard.
Yeah.
I eat really well. I sleep as much as I can.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in bed at 8:15. Yeah, I get up at 4, but I make sure I get that downtime, rest, recovery. I eat well. I hydrate, you know, but I train like a maniac.
Yeah.
And I know that.
You make it your priority.
It is my priority. So when people say, I want this, that, or the other, sure, I can get you that, but you need to commit to it. And how high is it on your priority list? If you want a six pack, but you don't want to say no to going out on a Friday night and getting boozed, you know, there's got to be give and take, you know.
It's
discipline.
Everyone wants their cake and eat it too.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of like, it's interesting that you're in this business, if you will. I would say it's more like a culture of health and personal training and so forth, which is essentially helping people to optimize their fitness. You're fixing people. You're helping people to be fixed.
Yes.
And you have control over that. That's like a business. People come to you, it's a transaction and so forth, and you can maintain relative objectivity, meaning that you're not as much, I know you always get involved in their life, but in now when it comes to relationships, you're also a fixer.
Yes. But I'm trying to learn not to be. And in fact, I think I had an instance just recently where someone sent me an article, single alpha female.
Oh.
And basically...
Whoa, tell me about this.
Yeah, so basically insinuated that I had a too masculine energy and I was too, I guess, domineering, or, yeah, my masculine energy was too overpowering.
We're in the year 2021.
Yes.
Wow, okay. Anyways, but, moving on.
Yes, but that was my reflection time. That happened before New Year's, before Christmas. And I kind of took a step back and went, wow, like, is this why my relationships are failing? Because I'm dominant, or because I've got my shit together? I know what I want. I know how I want to get it. Am I being too much of a fixer for that other person to bring them up to my level? Like, am I trying to get them there? Am I trying too hard to bring them along with me?
But let's go back to confidence versus dominance.
Yep.
Wouldn't you say, I find you very, very, well, very confident, because you're on with me on the dance floor, even though everyone's watching and we're dancing like idiots. We live in the moment, yes, and enjoy it and so forth.
Yes.
Versus dominance is, for me, more of an aggressive thing.
And demanding.
Mm. So when it comes to this person insinuating that you're dominant within the relationship, for me, to me, that's aggressive.
Yes, behavior.
Versus,
yes,
saying the differentiating factor is, hey, you could be so amazing. Can't you see it? Yeah. Can't you see how great we could be together?
Yeah.
But where's the line between that? Saying, I think I know our potential, so come on with a ride, versus, listen, there's a potential here. You know, when you're ready, jump on the horse.
Well, it was interesting. I wasn't even in a relationship. Wasn't even seeing this person that sent me the article.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, yeah.
Wait a second. So you got to walk me through, how did this come up? Why did he or she send it to you?
I think we were reflecting on relationships, and just having very open and frank conversations. And I basically said, you know, I've got my shit together, financially stable, emotionally stable. I know what I want.
Yep.
I'm 40 this year and you know, like, I want to settle type thing. And then the conversation continued, and I think the reflective piece for that person was, you came across too strong, basically. And so, yeah, it was just, it was a really interesting, without going down that rabbit hole, the rabbit hole that I went down after I got that article was like, wow, maybe my relationship from last year didn't work out because I had too high expectations. I was too dominant. I was the one doing all the stuff, and maybe I needed to be more softer, more go with the flow, more feminine. Maybe I was just too much of a dominant force within the relationship.
But then that brings the idea that you have to change who you are to get into a relationship, and eventually you're going to change back into your original core self.
Yes.
And the shit's going to hit the fan again.
Mm.
So, again, circling back to, I can't let go of my ex, do you think part of it is like that guilt of, maybe I should have adapted myself a bit, maybe I should have been a bit less dominant, and maybe it could have worked out, or maybe it could be different?
No, I actually think, dare I say it, I could have been more alpha female in my communication. I could have actually said, actually, I'm not happy with that. Mm. I need more. I want more. Are you able to give more, or whatever it might be? But I think my reflective piece is that I just was like, okay. Well, if that's how you are, then now that I know that, I can work with that type thing, as opposed to saying, actually, that's not enough for me.
Mm. So you were the compromiser.
I don't know what you're saying.
You're basically saying that, well, instead of saying, oh, okay, that's how you are, I'll adapt.
Yeah.
Versus saying, that's how you are, but this is how I am, so let's adapt together.
Yeah.
Vlad and I are chalk and cheese, and it wouldn't work if I was the only one doing the adapting, or him.
But I think also my communication was probably not as direct as it should have been.
Why do you think that is?
Because I don't know, maybe because I felt like, maybe I felt uncomfortable to be bluntly honest or vulnerable, I guess.
What's the worst thing that could happen?
Exactly, right? And it did happen. I ended the relationship. That was the worst thing that could have happened.
But take me into that moment when you're about to say something honest to the person, would you
vulnerability.
Say vulnerability, but also a fear of the unknown, of the
rejection,
end of the relationship. What am I going to do then? What are people going to think?
Yeah.
You know, there's all these factors that come into decision making.
Definitely. It's like a risk assessment, a mini risk assessment every time.
It is, but the difficulty is the decision maker is your emotions, not your logic in general.
Absolutely.
Because logically, and I remember having these conversations, logically, if you put everything down on paper, you're like, I need to get the hell out.
Yeah.
But emotionally, there was just something. And that's almost the beauty of love is that you can't really explain it. Like, why do I love Vlado? There's just so many things. But when you put them together, it's like this mess.
Yeah.
And you can't describe it.
But it's interesting because part of my reflection over the last 6, 8, 10 weeks has been, and especially after this article, my reflection is let me take a step back. I definitely know that relationship made me so comfortable in who I was and I didn't play any games.
Mm.
I felt so comfortable in being my entire me throughout that entire relationship. And I think that's the first relationship I've ever had where I could be like that.
Wow.
Yeah. I have done a lot of thinking recently.
Yeah.
But I can't believe
smoke isn't coming out of your head.
Oh, it's like, I actually said to a girlfriend this morning, it was like I had an epiphany over Christmas and New Year's. And I was like, oh my goodness. Again, the reflection on the alpha female, were my expectations too high? But was it that, you know, is that a reflection of me? Because I have very high expectations of myself. Was I, you know, portraying that or projecting that? I go around and around and around in circles because I'm still trying to work out why, when I was so in love and in that wonderful relationship, why did I feel like I needed to end it, I guess.
Are you telling me that you regret your decision a bit?
Oh God, honestly, yes.
Okay.
In a word, yes.
Okay.
But I think that's been past experiences that I've reflected on again out of previous relationships and, you know, like I've even in my head written a list of what are all the things that you loved about it. And what are the things that were frustrating to you? And those frustrating things, if I take a step back, were probably my own set of standards, I guess.
Okay.
Maybe values also. Values definitely came into that. But again, my reflection is why didn't I communicate that clearer, or why didn't I ask more questions about it to understand it? Did I feel comfortable in asking those questions, I guess? And I'm not too sure whether we would have been on the same page to have that level of conversation.
I was just about to say, so essentially, correct me if I'm wrong, I can't let go of my ex is perhaps inherent and messed up in there is I should have been more clear and confident in my communication. So the decision that was made was based on fact, not just 60% of the information. We would have had all the cards on the table, and then the decision that was made, I would feel a bit better about.
And I think also
is that it?
And I'm an analytical person. I analyze things a lot. And I think there was probably opportunity where I was analyzing things, and I probably should have just said, "Hey, give me the lowdown."
Yeah.
Be as honest as you can be if you're comfortable in it, and give me the lowdown. And that's, again, a reflection on my communication within the relationship. I felt like I probably asked a lot of questions, but I perhaps wasn't brutally clear in the question. I guess I was probably trying to be nice about it or make it a comfortable conversation instead of an uncomfortable conversation, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people try to make, they have this problem in their relationship and they try to sugarcoat it to fix a problem, but you can't fix an uncomfortable problem with a comfortable conversation.
No, it needs to be uncomfortable, right?
You know, you got to sort of go in there. So would you say from, you know, this experience, would you say one of the things that you would have learned is, you know what, what's the worst thing that could happen? Put your cards on the table and be confident in your communication because anything that results is going to be positive because you're basing it on all the information.
Yes, and the person reciprocating that kind of all cards on the table situation.
That's it. Absolutely. Do you think that comes with age though? Because I know 20 years ago I would have been like, I'm going to fake it through this relationship because I do not want to be single.
Yeah.
That was me.
Yeah. Definitely. I think as and the more you know yourself, like, and also the more self-confidence you've got and the more self-worth that you've got.
That's it.
It basically comes down to knowing what you bring to the table.
That's
and
it.
Sure as shit, I know what I bring to the table and I'm happy to eat alone. I just don't want to.
That's it.
So, you know.
So when it comes to self-worth, why don't we test this out a bit right now?
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you, is there a secret that you would like to share with us? Something that you've never told anyone before so we can do what we did with this secret and unpack it and learn from it?
Oh, a secret.
Take your time.
Nobody knows.
I mean, technically speaking, it could be one that I know because I know.
Because you know everything. About you. Well, I guess it's not really a secret. But it's part of my behavioral pattern from previous relationships. It was compromising and losing myself. So you will remember the relationship I had that I moved to Melbourne for.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely lost my center. I gave everything to the relationship, whether it be finance, blood, sweat, tears, emotion. I bent to make the relationship work to the point that I even ate Chinese food on Friday night because that is what he wanted. And instead of, you know, I hate Chinese food, just a disclaimer, and, you know, but it's not for me, but I totally and utterly compromised on myself to have that relationship and make that relationship work. Again, it took me 3.5 years to learn that it just wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
But it was my lack of wanting to fail. it was my not wanting to fail.
Not wanting to fail. Yeah. So what's the secret in that?
The secret was I just was compromising. It's not really a secret, but it's something that I've realized that I did a lot that I didn't want to do anymore. It's the compromising that you do to make something work because you don't want to be alone or you don't want to be single or you don't want to go through heartache or you've invested so much, you have to start again. And it's that fear of starting again. But again, mum's words, what's the worst thing that can happen? You pack up and you move home. You move back to Perth and you start again.
Which is what happened. Mm-hmm. I will tell the audience that with this particular person, at one point when they were in Perth, I'm only 5 foot. 5 foot and a bit if you really stretch me out.
Yes, like if you stand up tall.
Yeah, exactly. Really, really hang me up to dry. And I was very upset with this person. And I've only gotten really, I would say, that kind of aggression a couple times in my life. And I remember feeling about 7 foot tall and pointing my finger into his face.
Oh, you
and
waved that finger.
Waved that finger. And I said, if you ever, it was like every syllable of my word, if you ever do that to my best friend again,
yes,
I was irate. I still remember that feeling.
I do too. I remember where we were standing, at what house we were at. I remember it was June 2015.
There you go.
That was a major point.
And if we come back to your secret of, can I summarize it? Basically, you were being someone that you're not.
Yeah.
And would you say inherent to that is you're almost ashamed of that?
I look back and I don't believe in having regrets because I believe everything, I know it sounds super cliched, but you learn. It's a lesson, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that is why I am where I am today. I have my shit together. I know who I am and I know what I bring to the table in a relationship. So I think I'm not ashamed and I don't regret it, but I definitely learned I cannot compromise myself to that point ever again for somebody else.
So basically, we've already unpacked that secret and you've already turned it into a lifelong lesson.
Yes.
This is because you're my girlfriend. Of course, you're going to be that aware. No, I'm joking. You're in general
well,
very
aware.
Well,
you've been in my life now, obviously, 10 years. And so I've spoken to you on many occasions. Yeah. There's been many tears, many walks, many laughs, many, many lots of things. So,
but I think also for the people listening, sometimes you see this in other people. And I think perhaps some of that when my finger was wagging is inherent to that. I was saying, you are changing my winning lottery girlfriend who is so amazing, and you are fucking her up.
Yeah.
And I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about that. Mm. And for me, it was like, you are compromising my girlfriend. You are taking away that angelic property of her. Yeah. And you're taking her not away from me. That's not the point of this. You're taking her away from herself.
Absolutely.
And I know I've done that many times in relationships where you just, you know, maybe you party a lot, you don't party at all, and you pretend that you don't like to go out for a drink. Or, you know, like you're constantly changing yourself for the other people. Mm. And I have to admit, I mean, that's, again, one of my secrets as well. And I felt very ashamed of that because now, you know, when you're older, not old, but older and confident, you just think, why the fuck did I waste time?
Yeah.
Why did I waste time changing myself for someone else?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't, does it? But it's not until you have that mature outlook, I think.
Awareness.
And absolutely.
That you can turn that shame into a lesson saying, you know what? I remember how I felt when for example, there was this, I'll say a short story. I remember this photographer in Toronto, and this is when I was like super desperate to be with someone, this and that. And I remember we went up to Cottage Country, and he left early in the morning with everyone else there to go water skiing and so forth. And I was left at this house alone, and I was calling him desperately because I was like, you just left me.
Yeah.
And he ignored all my phone calls. I still remember that feeling. And he just came back and said, oh yeah, sorry, we were just busy. And that's that feeling of, I cannot believe I'm putting myself in this compromising position. Mm-hmm. And I was the one paying for gas to get up to the Cottage Country. It's a 3.5 hour drive. I was this one waiting there, waiting so I could drive him back to Toronto.
Yeah.
And you feel like a numbnut. And I think I was ashamed. I was so ashamed. And I know that that's a feeling I never want to replicate again.
Yes.
I don't want to be in that situation where I'm sitting there alone and waiting for Guffman and waiting for someone to come home and say, oh, I'm so sorry I left my phone at home. I missed you so much. I wish you could have been there. That's what I wanted.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why I was sitting there like a numbnut waiting for someone to say, you know what, you're worth it.
Yeah.
That's what I was waiting for.
Yeah.
And that's why I think if people can do more what you do, which is learning from the past, learning from their secrets and say, I remember that feeling of shame or I remember that feeling of anger, hurt. Mm. And I know that that's not good for me and I don't want to do that again.
Well, I can 150% say I absolutely lost my spark in that relationship. Mm. 2015, well, actually it was the tail end of 2014, 15, 16. I absolutely lost who I was and I don't ever want to compromise myself in a relationship. And if that means I come across as masculine energy, then so fucking be it, because I do not want to lose my center so much that I lost my spark. I remember talking to one of my best friends in Melbourne saying, I feel like I'm a shadow. I feel like I'm my shadow self. I am.
Oh God.
Yeah. It was a really peculiar feeling because I don't shy away. I've got a loud voice. I walk tall. I'm, you know, like I'm all in your face.
Yeah.
But over in Melbourne, I was an absolute shadow of myself and I don't ever want to compromise in a relationship to be like that again.
Wow. Can we dive into that feeling of being a shadow a bit more? If you can take us into that moment, can you give us an example when perhaps you were at home or you were waiting by the phone or you just had a fight or something like that?
Yeah.
Can you take us through what was going through your mind? Like, do you ever say to yourself, what the fuck am I doing? Or was it like, oh, if I can just get through this?
So my pattern with actually a lot of things, I guess, is try to address it. So throughout that relationship, when I moved to Melbourne, I would probably every 7 to 8 weeks have a conversation with this person and say, the relationship isn't working well enough. Like, we can be so much better. Let's do things differently. Let's go on date night and put our phones away. Let's go out on a Saturday afternoon and go for a bike ride or a walk or take the dogs or do something, as opposed to you sleeping on the couch and me sitting around waiting for you to wake up so we can do something together. And so I would constantly have this conversation, you know, and there would be promises made. Yes, we will do things better. Sometimes those conversations ended up in him telling me to fuck off back home. But again, compromising myself, I was in love,
yeah,
and I wanted it to work. And I'd invested so much into that relationship and moved states.
Yeah, I remember.
I wanted it to work so badly. But yeah, there were constant moments. And again, I was living from hope to hope, moments of fantastic relationship moments, grasping them. And I remember actually speaking to you about it and you telling me it's like a monkey swinging between branches. You know, you're waiting for the next moment that you can grab onto so you can let go of that one, and then you forget everything in between.
In between.
And then you hold onto that and you swing and you're out reaching for that branch of the next wonderful moment in the relationship, and you grab onto that and you hold it with all your might. Those sorts of, you know, I went through that constantly.
It's interesting, the relationship that we first started talking about was this sort of manic depressive in these moments. And it almost describes what you're saying in regards to the relationship. It's these feelings of elation to, would you ever say that you ever felt depressed?
Depressed to me is quite a strong word. I like to think of it, I guess, more of I lost myself. And I will honestly say 5 years ago, through that relationship, I guess all the issues, what I didn't realize what was happening was I was getting isolated. It was isolating me from my friends and my family, and it really did impact the relationships I was having outside of this one person. He did that very, very well. So I remember having a dinner booked in with my best friend in Melbourne, and she'd made roast lamb and spent a lot of money on the preparation and stuff. And it was Saturday, and that Saturday afternoon he said to me, I don't really want to go. I can't be bothered. And I remember ringing her and saying, we're not coming for dinner. And that basically put a massive splinter into our friendship. But I was so focused on the relationship succeeding that it hurt, and I was very conscious of losing that friendship, the closeness. Luckily to say, we are back at, you know, besties, and, you know, we have an amazing relationship now, she and I. But for that time that I was with him, it was a very isolating moment. I really lost a lot of friends and lost connections, I guess, with people that were important to me, because I couldn't see it happening at the time.
I was just about to say, sometimes when you're being emotionally manipulated, you just, it's your new norm.
Yeah. And I think
you make excuses too.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And I have I'm ashamed of that. I'm ashamed of that moment, because I will remember where we were when I made that phone call, because that was very impacting. It was huge. And you know, I've apologized, and I still don't feel like it's probably something. I don't ever want to get back to that point again as well. So I think being aware of when there's emotional manipulation happening in a relationship.
Would you say then, like, to summarize your secret almost, then what we've unpacked is it's not even just compromise, but it's someone allowing someone to manipulate you to move you off kilter and compromise who you actually are.
Yeah.
Would you say that's like almost like your fear in a way? Like, if I put it into a statement, I never want to be manipulated to be compromised again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it definitely, those three and a half year relationships absolutely gave me enough knowledge and learning and shitty times to not want to ever repeat them. Absolutely.
So what would you be your, I don't like saying advice. One of my things that my dad always said to me is like, I don't want to give you advice. I just want to give you things to consider.
Yeah.
So, you know, 1, 2, 3 things for perhaps someone who's listening, who's in an emotionally volatile relationship, and that could be perhaps at work, you know, in their business, in their relationship, friendships, family, whatever. What are some things perhaps that you can tell them to, or maybe questions to ask themselves so they can consider something?
I would definitely say they need to share it with someone who's close to them.
Mm-hmm.
Having an objective external party be a sounding board is very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I think sharing is part of the battle. Like when you internalize it, I think it can become overwhelming, so overwhelming. So to have someone that you can reach out and vent. The other thing is also making sure that that person knows or asks, do you want a solution or do you just want me to listen? I think that's such an important thing for all relationships. If you're coming to someone with a problem, hold up. Do you want me to help you try to solve it or do you want me to just listen? I think that's important too, to understand where that relationship, trust relationship lies in sharing whatever you're going through. What would I tell them that they need to consider? I'd get them to take a step back and look at the bigger picture. Take a step back, get some perspective on things.
Look at your future self, would you say?
Yeah, and how do you want... Do you want to be in this same position 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the track? And if your answer is no, then you need to start making a difference. You need to change. You need to pivot. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's hard. That's hard when you're in it. Let me tell you, it is so hard.
Because you're invested.
Totally.
It's kind of like people, it's the same thing that happens in gambling. You know, you're at the roulette table and you have $10,000 in the bank and you've spent $8,000, you've lost $8,000. You're like, I'm already $8,000 in.
Yeah.
I might as well just blow the $10,000. But if you take a step back, you're like, but you could have $2,000 in your bank account, walk away now. But our brains don't think that way.
No.
just think, we're in it to win it. So would you say again, that objective perspective says, okay, let's take a step back and see, you know, yes, you've invested this, but how much more are you willing to invest?
It's so funny you say that because my mind goes to all the, like so many clients that you will have had that I have had that binge eat.
Yep.
And so they've just eaten a packet of Tim Tams and a packet of mint slice and they're like, well, I've already done that. I might as well just go hell for leather.
What the
hell? Hang on a second. Mm-hmm. Take a step back and go, all right, I've just had a packet of Tim Tams and a packet of mint slice. Take a step back. If I eat well for the rest of the day, at least I finish eating well for the rest of the day. And you can counteract sort of whatever the repercussions are going to be in your head or with your body. But I think that's also like binge eaters, you know.
100%.
They've ripped half the Band-Aid off and think, fuck it, might as well rip it all off and go hell for leather. You only live once type thing.
Because you have that mindset of I'm a failure.
Yeah, I've just failed.
And what do people that feel like failures do? They self-punish.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what research has, not conclusively, I never like to say that, but has repeatedly shown is those people that can be more self-compassionate fare better in regards to achievement. And that's kind of like what we're saying with relationships.
Absolutely.
Is, you know, the more self-compassionate you can be despite the situation that you're in, despite how much you have invested, you're still going to fare better in the end.
And coming back to that secret, you know, I can't seem to let go of my ex. I think for people that are scared of challenging or being brutally honest with themselves or hearing what they could do better or knowing what they could do better, they're the people that get stuck in the cycle, just like binge eating, just like going back to an emotionally or a physically abusive relationship. I think going back to that secret, like it is, it's when you reflect and when you take a step back and see the perspective, do you want to learn and grow and be better next time? Or are you comfortable in going back into that cycle? Like, and the challenge is to always step forward into that. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to do better next time.
That's right.
It's learning YOLO. It's not all about you only live once. It's not about, you know, going hell for leather. It's about trying to learn from the experience.
Yeah, being honest with the evidence from the experience, but yes, also honest with yourself and
yes,
the sense that not moving away from that, you're grounding.
Mm. And you said, you know, did you make a decision based on 60% of fact,
yep,
or could you have sat down and had that conversation and got 80 to 85 to 90% of fact and then made the decision? Well, yes, reflecting,
yeah,
you know, I want to ask more questions. I want to learn. I want to do better so that my next relationship will be better.
I love that. And I think that's, yep, such a great place to end on, in the sense that let's ask not only the people around us more questions, but why don't we start asking ourselves a few more questions so we can extract a bit more honesty,
yeah,
so we can have a more remarkable life.
Absolutely. And when you ask yourself the question, sometimes you need to ask somebody else,
mm-hmm,
and it might be the person you don't want to ask, but sometimes you do. But it's when you put yourself in a uncomfortable situation that remarkability comes to the surface. It's that proud moment when you go, wow, I just stepped out of my comfort zone and I just did something that was remarkable.
That's it. My father, one of my favorite quotes is, to thine own self be true, and it follows the night by day, thou can never be false by any man. It's from Hamlet. And essentially the way I read it is, if you're honest with yourself, you'll be a good person.
Absolutely.
And good things will come.
Stay true to yourself, be authentic, you know, and know your worth.
Well, on that note, Nadine, my darling best friend, thank you for being so open and honest.
You just seem to bring it out in me, Catherine.
As like I make people fart.
Yes, and what a relief.
There you go. Thanks.
Thanks, Kat.